Since this Shabbos is Parsha Shkolim, in which we read the beginning of Parsha's Kisisa as the Maftir, which deals with the union of the Machzis HaShekel, so we'll talk a little bit about Machzis HaShekel. The opening of Parshas Kisisa is talking about the census that was made as to the number of Jews that there were in the Midbar at that point in time. The Torah tells us that it's forbidden to count Jews in the normal manner, and when there is a necessity to make a census of some sort, then the way it's done is by having the individuals contribute a item, and then you count the items that they contribute. In the Midbar, everybody was commanded to bring a half a shekel, and then these half shkolim were counted, and that was the way that it could be worked out how many Jews that there were. From that point and onwards, there were various points in Jewish history when census were made, but the din of Machzis HaShekel remained as a yearly halacha, that Jews were commanded to contribute each and every year a half a shekel towards the Beis HaMikdash. The announcement was made on Rosh Chodesh Adar that shkolim have to be contributed. Immediately following that, the collection was made, and the shkolim were given to the Beis HaMikdash, each and every Jew giving a half a shekel. The money, these half shkolim, were used in order to purchase the korbanos that were offered up in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. There was the korban tamid that was offered up, tamid shachar, tamid shebein arba'im, and any other obligatory korbanos that had to be offered up in the Beis HaMikdash, where the korbanos were coming or had to come from communal funds, so the communal fund was based on the Machzis HaShekel. In the event that there was a surplus, that there was money left over in the gizboros from these half shkolim, which were initially meant to be used for the daily korbanos, if there was a surplus of money, then this money was used for other activities that in the Beis HaMikdash that required money. And there is a Maseches Shkolim which tells us exactly what it was used for and how it was used. Basically, once the Shkolim were collected, they were used for the korbanos of that year. And then when Rosh Chodesh Adar of the following year came around, a new collection was made. And from that point and onwards, the korbanos were purchased through the new shkolim, and it was the remainder of the old shkolim that was used for other purposes in the Beis HaMikdash, and not for korbanos. And one of the major questions that begs itself, and that's obvious, is that initially, on the first occasion, which is the occasion which is discussed in Parshas Kisisa, when the Torah is obligating the contribution of a half a shekel basically as a method of counting Chol Yisrael, and theoretically, as we said, any item could have been used, and even if there was an ulterior motive in collecting funds, because, as we said, it was necessary eventually for these funds be used to purchase korbanos, why a half a shekel, and why not a complete shekel? In other words, what's the reasoning that lies behind the concept of a half a shekel? And all the Mefarshim are aimed on this point. Everybody asks this, what's the significance of the half a shekel? And most of the Mefarshim go in the same direction, each one in his own language, but most of them say the same terrors, the same answer. And the person who perhaps sums up this answer in the most, or in the clearest way, is the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh writes that the reason why the Torah commanded the Jew to bring a half a shekel is l'man yeda ha'odom, in order that a person should know, kol echad ve'echad, each individual in Klal Yisrael has to know, shehu rak chatzi, that he's not complete, he's only a half. V'rak behischabrei im kol echad miYisrael, and it's only when he's unified with the rest of Klal Yisrael, nase echad sholem, it becomes one complete unit. Therefore, Al Kain, therefore, kol echod yovi rak machta. Therefore, everybody should bring or contribute a half a shekel. In other words, the whole concept of bringing a half a shekel is to impress upon the individual the idea that as an individual one is not complete. One is only complete when one becomes part of a whole. But as an individual, one will always be just a half. One will always be lacking something. And the reason why the Torah indicates this dafka when one is counting Klal Yisrael, it would seem logical to say that this is because dafka when one counts individual, that lends itself to the impression that the individual in and of itself is of great importance. And perhaps one would overemphasize the shleimus of the individual by counting individuals. Therefore, the Torah comes and the Torah says, no, you have to know that the individual, without a connection with the rest of Klal Yisrael, is only a part, it's not a whole. In other words, the whole concept of Machzis HaShekel, according to the Mefarshim, is to teach a person the idea of anova, the idea of modesty. The idea that a person should never consider himself to be sholem as an individual, he always has to know that he's only halfway there. And without everybody else, he's basically nothing. In last week's parasha, which was Parashas Yisro, we find something very strange. Don't know which of you actually learned through the parasha from beginning to end. But if you did learn through the parasha and you learned through the Rashi, then you should have noticed that there is something very strange in last week's parasha. In last week's parasha, the Torah tells us that that Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he comes with a criticism. He comes with a complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. He sees Moshe Rabbeinu paskening the shailas that Klal Yisrael are asking him. Vayomer Chosen Moshe Elov, and Moshe's father-in-law says to him, Lo Tov Hadavra Asher Ata Oisa. It's not good the way in which you're doing things. Novel Tibel, because you're going to become worn out. Gam Ato Gam Ha'om Hazer Asher Imoch, both you and the people that are with you. Ki Koved Mimcha Hadavra, because this responsibility which you took upon yourself to be the sole arbitrator within Klal Yisrael is too difficult for you. Loisuchal asoihu levadecha. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. Therefore, he says, listen to me because I have a piece of advice for you. And what's the piece of advice? Set up a judiciary. Set up a system of courts. There'll be lower courts, there'll be higher courts. And a person who has a problem, or two individuals who have a problem, or two individuals who are fighting between themselves about a monetary issue or about something else, let them first go to the lower courts, see if the lower court can decide it. If the lower court can't decide it, then they'll go to a higher court. And if eventually they go right the way through the court system, and the court system can't help them, it's too big of a problem for both the lower courts and the higher courts, then eventually they'll get to you, and then you'll decide. But the vast majority of conflicts that arise between people, etc., etc., can be determined by courts that are on a lower level than you are and don't need to come to you. In which case, there'll basically be a system here which will sieve the different problems that arise and allow that only really major problems come to you. And the truth of the matter is that when you think about it, this is a very simple logical approach. This is something which is prevalent in every single organized society. There's no great chiddush here in what Yisrei said. And if Yisrei's complaint was true, that Moshe was basically overworked, and that it was impossible for one individual to cope with the amount of work that Moshe Rabbeinu had, then why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu himself come up with such an idea? Why was it necessary for his father-in-law to come along and tell him this? It is lechura nothing more than a very simple, practical, pragmatic approach to the judicial system, which anyone would think of. The Haraya, the world does it, right? Without any great chokhmah. You don't have to be a master efficiency expert to work this one out, right? It's a very simple, straightforward svara. But that in itself wouldn't be such a problem were it not for the fact that there is a pasuk in last week's parasha which says the following. Vayhimi Mochras, and it was on the following day. This is prior to the suggestion of Yisrael. This is what Yisrael actually sees, which creates the response of Yisrael to come up with this idea to speak to his son-in-law. Vayhimi Mochras. It was the following day, after the grand meeting between Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayeshev Moshe Lishpoit Esa'om. Moshe sat down in order to judge the people. Vayamoid Ha'om Al Moshe. And the people stood by Moshe Rabbeinu. Min HaBoike Ad Orev. From morning until night. To which Rashi says on that pasuk, Min HaBoike Ad HaErev. Moshe Rabbeinu sat from morning until night. Rashi quotes the Gemara and Rashi quotes the Mechilta, which says the following. Efshalayma came. Are we expected to take this seriously? Is the Pasuk really telling us that Moshe sat non-stop from Netzach Hamo or Aleis HaShachar until Shkias HaChamo, until Teis HaKichovim? Is that what happened, say Chazal? Of course not. Ela kol dayon shedon din emes liamitoi. Any dayon, any judge, who judges din emes, afilu sho achas, even if he's only doing it for 1 hour during the day, male ol of akosov. The Torah is telling us, keilu oisek b'teira kol hayoyim, keilu nasa shutav l'akadosh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis, shenema boy, etc., etc., etc. In other words, what's Rashi saying, b'shem Chazal? The Moshe never literally sat from morning till night paskening shilas. That's obviously not true. It's just that if a dayan is done din emes, then in klapei shmaya, it's considered as if he put in a full day's work. If that's the case, then b'chal, what's Yisrael talking about? Why is Yisrael saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, novel tibo, you're going to collapse. You're overworking. He was working an hour a day. I mean, he wasn't a Levaria guy, that an hour a day is considered to be the type of work that causes complete and total and utter collapse. Right? What's the big deal? So he sat and he paskened for an hour a day. So why was Yisrael getting in and so excited? And then the very expression that Yisrael uses is also strange. What does Yisrael say? There's no way you can do this by yourself. What do you mean there's no way you can do this by yourself? He just saw that he did it. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu sat from the morning till night. Doesn't say that he then had a nervous breakdown, he then collapsed, he was then taken to an emergency ward, and it took him 3 months to recover. No. Moshe Rabbeinu was quite willing to get up the next morning and do it again. So what did he mean, Yisrael, when he said, Leituchal Oiseihu Levadcha? We are under the impression that what Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu was a good piece of advice. We're under the impression that what Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu was simply a piece of advice given by somebody who understood how best a person can function. In other words, a piece of advice which was coming from logic. A piece of advice which was coming from common sense. But the truth of the matter is that this can't be the real pshat. Because Chazal come along and Chazal tell us that Yisrael was zeicher that nizvaseif parsha b'teira begufe shel teira al shmoi. Because of this great thing which Yisrael said to Moshe, an entire parsha was added in gufe shel teira. In other words, that which Yisrael is saying to Moshe is not just an eitzah, say Chazal. This wasn't just a piece of advice. This was a yisoid, which is an integral part of Torah. Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe Rabbeinu something which is a yesod, which is a fundamental principle in Gufei Shel Torah, which is a Shtik Torah. And this Shtik Torah, which Yisrael told Moshe Rabbeinu, is that there's a concept in Torah which is called Levadcha. There's a concept in Torah which is called on your own, which means the following. You may have the physical capacity to do something, even if the project which is in front of you is something which you feel that you have the ability to do it on your own, And even if you think, from a very superficial level, that you're being matzliach in doing it on your own, the Torah comes along and the Torah says, we have a chiddush for you. And the chiddush is that levadcha results in novelty bo. The chiddush is that any act which a person tries to do, levadcha, anything which a person tries to do totally on his own, the end will be novel tibo. It will be destructive. It will be self-destructive. And when Moshe Rabbeinu hears this from Yisrael, he's not sure whether Yisrael is right or not. Who says? Who says that one can't achieve something on one's own? Who says that one can only achieve when one is part of a tzibur, when one is part of a klal? Maybe one can taka achieve something on one's own. Yisra is coming along and telling us that Torah is machadish to us, that you can't achieve on your own. Maybe it's not true. Maybe you can achieve on your own. Therefore he asks the Ribbono Shel, is my father-in-law right or is he wrong? To which the Ribbono Shel says, he's right, you've got to be mekabel that Torah of Yisrael. Why? Because the concept of being able to achieve on one's own is a concept which exists only by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't exist by a human being. V'niskov Hashem levadoi. It's only the Ribbono Shel Olam that has the ability of doing on his own. It's only by the Ribbono Shel Olam that there is the concept of the Bechina of Levadoi, but not by human beings. Vayivasa Yaakov Levadoi, Yaakov remains alone, Vayevak Ish Imoi, and immediately the Sar Shel Esav attacks him. The whole reason why the Sar Shel Esav had the ability to attack Yaakov was because of the Levadoi, because Yaakov was there on his own. Kol Zman Yaakov Avinu was together with everybody else, he wasn't in any sakana at all. When does the Yetzer Hara try to attack a person? When he is levadoi, when he's on his own. There's a famous Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, and Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Tanan de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Bni, Im Poga B'chom Nuvul Zeh, if the Yetzer Hara attacks you, Mashcheu LeBeis HaMedrash, schlep him into the Beis HaMedrash. So the Pashup Shad is Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Teira Tavlin. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the Yetzirah and he created the antidote to the Yetzirah. And the antidote to the Yetzirah is Teira. Therefore, in Poga B'chom Nuvul Zeh, if the Yetzirah attacks you, then Mashcheu LeBeis HaMedrash, go and learn Teira. I once suggested that that's not the pshat. I don't know if this is the emistic of pshat. There is Rush, you can definitely say it. In Pogo B'chamunivu Zef, the Yetzirah attacks you. You know why he attacks you? Because you're on your own. The Yetzirah only has the ability to attack you if you're on your own. Therefore, how do you defend yourself against the Yetzirah? Mashcheu LeBeis HaMedrash. Run to the Beis HaMedrash. But the Beis HaMedrash is the other people there as well. You're not on your own anymore. Beis HaMedrash is a place of a tzibur. And if you're in a place of a tzibur, you're protected. The Gemara says in Beitza, on Daf Kavdalad Amud Beis, La'olam al yimne odom atzmoi shor achas mi beis hamedrash. A person should never find himself in a situation that there is any hour in the day when he's not in the Beis HaMedrash. And the Pashup Pshat again is that if he's not in the Beis HaMedrash, and that's the way that the Pashup Pshat, that the Rishonim learn Pshat there, if he's not in the Beis HaMedrash, he's going to miss out on that which is being mischadesh in Torah, in the Beis HaMedrash, in that particular hour. But it's very possible that there's another Nakuda here. even if he's outside the Beis HaMedrash. And even when he's outside the Beis HaMedrash, he's also being Isaac B'Teiro, he's also being Isaac B'Maisim Tovim. But he's in a matzav of Levadai. He's not with the Tzibur together. And if you're not with the Tzibur together, then you're not in the Sakone G'doyla. Therefore, Al Yimnoi Atzmi Beis HaMedrash Afilu Sho Achas. Why? Because there in the Beis HaMedrash, there's a Zechus HaRabim. I think I've told you before, and it's a frightening thing. Chaim Shanovitz used to say this time and time again, and every time he said this, he used to burst out crying. And I heard it personally from him in many, many, many shmuzen of his. He used to have certain things which used to annoy him greatly. And one of the things that annoyed Reb Chaim, the time when I was a bocher, the Meir Yeshiva, was maybe 150 bocherim. Maybe. It was about 200 Yungalite, there was maybe about 150 Bokhrim. The period when I learnt in the Mir, I learnt in the Mir for one El, Tovshim Chav Vov, of Zion actually, 1967. There were maybe 80 Bokhrim, 90 Bokhrim in the Mir. So there was plenty of room in the Beis HaMedrash. There were certain Bokhrim we used to learn in the Ezras Noshim. And Reb Chaim used to go berserk about this. Not to learn in the Ezras Noshim, to learn in the Beis HaMedrash with everybody. And he used to say over the following story, that when the Mir Yeshiva left Mir at the outbreak of the war, on their way to Shanghai, he made a takona. In order to get to the port where the boat was going to take them to Japan, they had to use the Trans-Siberian Railway, which went right across the length of Poland and Russia. And it was wartime. And the train stopped at many, many, many stations on the way. And there were a lot of Bokhrim who came from the towns and the cities and the villages where the train stopped. And they knew that they were leaving and that they weren't going to see their parents again. And therefore there was a tremendous desire on the part of a lot of them to get off the train, because the train used to stop in the station not for 5 minutes, it was wartime. It stopped there for hours. And they wanted to get off the train to go home and say goodbye to their parents. And Reb Chaim got up before they left and he said, nobody gets off the train. Nobody leaves the train. Everybody stays together. It doesn't matter whether we're stopping for 10 hours. In a village where your parents live, and you know you're not going to see them again, not to get off the train. And Reb Chaim used to say, not one of the Bokhrim who got off the train came back and survived the war. Anybody who got off the train was killed in the war. Why? Because they were missing, he says, the schus of the tzibur. Levadoi, you don't make it. You only make it when you're part of a tzibur. The Mishnah says, at the beginning of Maseches Shkolim, Be'echod be'adar, on the first of Adar, Mashmim ala Shkolim. The announcement was made that everybody has to contribute to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash a half a shekel. And in commemoration of that halacha, that be'echod bi'adam ashkmim al ashkolim, that's why we read Parsha Shkolim this week. Because this week is Shabbos Mevorchim of Adar, and Rish Chodesh is at the end of the week, and in the time when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayom, then on Rish Chodesh Adar, there was the Ashmoas Ashkolim. And the question arises, what's the connection between the concept of Machzis HaShekel and the month of Adar? Now we all know that the Mishnah says in Tainus that Keshem Shenichnes Av Mematim B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnes Adar Marbim B'Simcha. And all the Mefoshim there have a problem. What's the connection between the miut of Simcha in Av and the ribuy of Simcha in Adar? that the Gemara uses the language k'shem, the same as, which seems to imply that there is a connection there. To which some of the Mefarshim say that the pshat is very simple. In the same way as the din of miut simcha in Av starts already with Rosh Chodesh Av and not on Tisha B'Av, so too in Chodesh Adar, Malbim B'Simcha already at the beginning of the month, not Dafka from Purim. In other words, that the whole point of this Gemara in Tainis is to tell us that the Chodesh of Adar is a Chodesh of Simcha. But that in itself requires explanation. Because why should there be a din of Ribui Simcha at the beginning of Chodesh Adar if the Iki Inyan of Simcha in Adar is obviously because of the Nes of Purim, and the Nes of Purim took place, as we know, in the middle of Adar? So where or what is the point of the Simcha at the beginning of Adar? Which obviously tells us that the inyan of Simcha in Adar is not necessarily only because of the Nes Purim that happened in the month of Adar. But there is something else in reference to the month of Adar which creates a situation of a Chiyuv Simcha in Adar. And what is it? What's the connection between Adar and Simcha? The Rishalmi in the first perek of Rosh Hashanah discusses a very interesting topic. We know that in the Torah, months do not have names. The Torah never talks about Tishri, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevez, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. The Torah talks about B'chedesh HaRishon, B'chedesh HaSheni, B'chedesh HaShlishi, B'chedesh HaRevi. Where do the names of the months come from? Says the Yerushalmi, the names of the months were established by Chazal in Bovel. And every month has a name, and there's a reason why it has that name. But the Yerushalmi doesn't explain what is the reason why the month was given the name. It just says the principle that Chazal created names for the months, and each name that they created for each month has a reason. Says the Chidushi Orim, where did the name Adar come from? Says the Chidushi Orim that the name Adar is based on a medrash of Chazal. Chazal say at the beginning of Parshas Truma, where Klal Yisrael are asked to contribute towards the Bnias HaMishkan, where Klal Yisrael are asked to contribute towards the building of the Mishkan, that the Ribbono Shelolam says to Klal Yisrael the following: Asuli Kitoin, make me a small hut, the odur beinechem, that I should be able to dwell amongst you. Says Chiddush Arim, the name Adar is Miloshen Dira, a dwelling place. And then the Chiddush HaRim brings a second Maimah Chazal, where the Chazal say that the Ribbono Shelolam said to Klal Yisrael, Ta'asu li diro betachtoinim, I want that you should make me a dwelling place in the lower world, in the world in which humanity exists. Says the Chiddush HaRim, what does it mean that the Ribbono Shelolam said, I want you to make me a dwelling place in the lower world where humanity exists? Lashem Oretz Mloyei, God exists everywhere. Says the Chiddush HaRim, what the Ribbono Shelolam wants is a certain location where that location will have an intensity of Hashrayis Hashchina. Says the Chiddush HaOrim, Chodesh Adar is the period in the year where there is intensity of Hashra'as Hashchina. And that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and says to us, Avoy Va'odur Beineichem. And that's why it's called Adar. Interestingly enough, the Chernobyler writes, also the beginning of Parashas Truma, in Maranaim, that Adar is Rosh Tevis. Aleph, Dor. Aleph is Alufa Shalalim, is Alekim, is the Ribbono Shalalim. The Ribbono Shalalim Dor dwells. Adar is the month where the Ribbono Shalalim makes an intensive Hashroas Hashchino in this world. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, and of Lamed Amad Aleph, Ein Hashchino Shoyre Elo Mitoch Simcha. That a prerequisite for Hashroas Hashchino is Simcha. So therefore, the Simcha of Chodesh Adar has nothing at all to do with the Nes of Purim. The Simcha of Chodesh Adar, which starts with Rish Chodesh Adar, is because it's a Chodesh of Ashroes Ashchino, and Ashroes Ashchino can only come about through the union of Simcha. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, what is Hashroes Hashchino? What does Hashroes Hashchino mean? What does it mean when we say that there is a place or that there is a period of time in which there is Hashroes Hashchino? What does that mean? It's words. What is the practical manifestation of Hashroes Hashchino? Says Ramchal, the practical manifestation of Hashroes Hashchino is Shefa and Brocha, Gam Begashmius v'Gam Beruchnius. It's when the Ribbono Shel Olam increases his giving of a Shefa and of a Brocha, both in Inyonim Gashmiim and in Inyonim Ruchniim. Because Shechina, says Ramchal, is Miloshen Shochein. Meaning, the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to us like a shochen, like a good neighbor. Kiruv, closeness. And the nature is that if you're close to somebody, you want to give to him. Therefore, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is close to Am Yisrael, he wants to give to Am Yisrael. Therefore, it's a period of hashpo in Ruchnius and hashpo in Gashmius. However, in order to get the Ashpo and Ruchnius, in order to get the Ashpo and Gashmius, there has to be something on the part of the person. The person has to do something. I always say over the Rematzio, Zogazunzan always says, B'Shem Rebellia. The Rebellia says that whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam gives, he gives, but it hovers above us. He never gives it to us. And somehow we've got to be Moshechit. Somehow we've got to bring it down to us. The Ramchal writes in Das Tfunis, he says, intellectual understanding is not enough. A person has to internalize that which he understands intellectually. And that's what the pasuk means when the pasuk says "V'yodaita hayoyim." You know something in your mind, but it's not enough. Ashivosa levavecha, it has to become part of you. And in another one of his works, the Ramchal writes the following: "Im hoisa hayedia rechava v'oimedes aleiv b'nei ha'adam." If a person would internalize within him that which his mind knows, Loi haya chayte me oilom. He would never be able to do an Aveira. Because intellectually everybody understands that the objective is to do Ratzon Hashem. And the only reason why a person does Averis is because there is a disconnect between the intellect and between the person. So therefore, the only way that a person can turn himself into a keli that is royu to be mekabel hashroes hashchinon shefa in ruchnius and in gashmius is if somehow he can deal with that disconnect which exists between the seichel and the leiv, between the intellect and the internalization in the actions of the person. In the tefillahs that we daven, we say a phrase, "Hu yiftach libeinu b'sei rasei." We also say, "Psach libi b'sei rasecha." Shmuel Rozovsky asks a question. He says, "Isn't this a strange construction? It shouldn't say, Psach libi b'sei rasecha. Open my heart b'sei rasecha. It should be Psach libi l'sei rasecha. Open my heart to your Torah. Yiftach libeinu l'tei rasei. The tefillah should be, the Ribbono shel Olam should open our hearts to accept Torah, to receive Torah. What pshat hu yiftach libeinu b'sei rasecha with Torah?" So he says, because the tefillah is not that we want to understand Torah. If the tefillah was, open us up that we can understand Torah, then it would be l'Torah secha. He says, that's not the tefillah. The tefillah is that the Torah we should learn should act as a key to open up libeinu, that the Torah that we intellectually learn it should be internalized by us. Sheyiftach libeinu, that he should open up our hearts b'sei rasecha with the key of Torah. Says Rav Shmuel, that's what the Chazon Ish writes in his famous letter. Ein biyodeinu, that doesn't exist. Dorva oruch mevua umesuda lahiris lefaneinu aderech haishara liftoach alev, that does not exist any method which will allow a person's heart to be opened, that he should internalize that which the Ribbono shel Olam wants from him, zulas, except Omel hatzfuno b'teirish v'alpeh, other than Amelus in a black Gemara. That's the only thing, says the Chazon Ish, which can act as a key to open a person's heart. Not limud, not learning a daf Gemara. Omel b'tfuno b'teirish v'alpeh, Amelus, breaking one's head in understanding what is being said to us in the Gemara, what is being said to us in the Rashi, in the Rashbam, in the Tosfos, and in the Rishonim. The Gemara says in Saita that the Ribbono shel Olam says, when it comes to a Bal Gaiva, ein aniva hu yecholin lodu b'kfifa achas. I can't live in the same place as he is. The Ramban writes in his Igeres, "Kashet isnaig b'midas anovo." It's only if a person is an onov that tishra alecha ruach hashchina v'ziv kvoida, the hashchros hashchina is possible. A tnaig kodim lemaisa for hashchros hashchina. In order that there should be hashchros hashchina, one requires two things: amola b'teira and a nova. And because Chodesh Adar is the Chodesh of Ashrayas HaShchinah. Therefore, the prerequisite of Ashrayas HaShchinah is Anova. Therefore, Machzis HaShekel, which represents Anova, was on Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's a frightening date in the Jewish calendar. Rosh Chodesh Adar is a frightening date in the Jewish calendar. That's why the Balin Musa were noeg to look at Adar, and they used to call it Adar El Cotton. Adar is the smaller El. The Musa Yeshivas, which had the minig that every day in Chodesh Elul they used to say aloud after davening together of Haschaim LaRosh, used to do it in Chodesh Adar as well. Because Chodesh Adar was a mini Elul. Why was it Chodesh Adar a mini Elul? Because it's a very powerful month. It's a month where there's Ashrayas HaShchinah. It's a month where the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a shefa both in Gashmias and in Ruchnias. But it's a month where there's a Tnai Kedem L'maisa. And the Tnai Kedem L'maisa is that Ashrayas HaShchinah only works if there's Amola B'Teira and if there's Anova. If a person is willing to stifle his ego, if a person is willing to take these few weeks that are left until Purim and to do not what he wants to do, but what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to do, and he spends these few weeks in Amola B'Teira, or as the Chazon Ish calls it, the Omel HaTfuna Shebeteira Shebal Peh, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will send us a Shefa, both Baruch Nias and the Gashmias.